The content warning for this book is possessive, obsessed hero, stalking, talk of suicide, violence, and sexual assault enough to be triggering. Are we starting this off being mean to me? And you know what? I don't agree with you.
I am glad that I got that. Hold up, wait a minute. As somebody who actually reads like dark stalker stuff, like this is so like light and mild and like fluffy.
Who authorized these feelings?
The check-ins are so cute.
His brain knows and he just can't. He's such a dumb boy.
She kind of basically says, fuck it. So fuck you, Lachlan Duke.
So I'm going to get this out of the way now. For your birthday, my present to you is I'm going to do every single book in May. You're not going to do anything. I am going to do them all. It is your birthday gift from me.
But are you going to be able to do that?
It doesn't matter. I'm going to cry. Don't even worry about it.
Well, I'm concerned with you. Like that.
It's fine. I knew what I was doing.
Does that mean I do the specials? Does that mean I do the
specials and regular ones? No, you're not doing a single book all May. So I already know what's left on our wheel. So it's okay. Happy early birthday.
I want you to have to suffer just to.
That's like the perfect birthday gift for you.
I know. No, that's not what I meant. I meant that I just got to read freely, but not you suffering. That came out the poor timing. That was awful.
That was funny. I thought it was
no. I don't want you to. I don't know if anyone knows this, but a cranky crystal is not a fun crystal.
A cranky either one of us is not a fun either one of us.
We want fun time snappy. Crystal. We want fun time crystal.
Welcome
to the chaos. Oh, we went two different directions.
Yeah, we did. That happens sometimes.
I mean, I feel like it would get really boring if we agreed on the same shit and basically had all of the same comments, because that would just make us even more boring than apparently we already are.
I am not boring. I take great offense to that. I am incredibly entertaining.
I find myself
incredibly entertaining. Let me change that.
What are we talking about today, Ariel?
This week, we read Until I Get You by Claire Contreras. So BookTok marketed this to me as like a dark stalker romance. And I just want to, in the beginning, the author herself put in saying she would describe this as a college and new adult hockey romance with an obsessive hero and some suspense. Dark romance would not be her first description, but it does have dark themes. And I would agree with a lot of that. So I'm glad that I had that in the beginning to kind of disillusion myself as to what I thought I was going into, because if I had gone into it with what I thought, I would have been mad.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I forgot this was a hockey book, partially into it. And then I remembered. I would also agree with what the author said, because if I had seen, oh, it's a dark stalker romance. First of all, I feel like those two things are slightly different.
That's how BookTok marketed it to me. That's how it was on my TBR for so long. I am glad that I got that. Hold up, wait a minute, because that is not what this book five would have gotten me.
No, I already know one complaint Ariel's going to have about the book.
You have my intrigue.
Long, and some things could have been pared down. As I read it and I finished it, I knew that's going to be one of her critiques today. It was 600 pages.
It was a long book, yes. I felt that there was pacing throughout, so it didn't lull in a lot of places for it to get that.
All I know is when some stuff happened, I was like, we're 35% in. Yeah. And then another thing happened, I was like, I think we're done. And then I looked, I'm like, we're 75%.
I felt like this could have been a two-parter.
It is technically a two-parter.
Right. But, you know, like a duet.
Two separate books.
Yeah. It could have naturally flowed as a duet.
Yeah. I think the way that they split it up, they could have just made those two separate books. Yeah. But yeah, because this book is split into two parts technically.
Yes. the past,
the past and the present. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it could have been an easier read for people if it was split into a duet, like a quicker read. But mm-hmm. I felt like the pacing was there that I wasn't, oh, this should have been edited down, like where you thought I was going to go.
That was my first thought when I finished it.
So yeah, Until I Get You does have the two parts. So part one, we start labeled as the past. And it is our female main character and actually our main male character, both while they are in college. And they are both at an invite-only college party. Our female main character, Lila, and our male main character, Lachlan. They meet at what Lachlan calls the wall, his wall, where he goes to just get away from everyone at the party and just watch everyone. And funny, she did that as well. Lila is not a party goer. She went for the same intention. It does not have his name on it. It's not his wall. She didn't know. So they were just standing there. And he's really confused because she doesn't fawn over him and try to get at him like basically every other girl that he's come across. So he finds her intriguing, even though she literally is standing there in the baggiest clothes, looking out of place at a college party. What he finds more intriguing is that she basically snubs him and basically snubs everyone until one of his teammates, so he's on the hockey team at this college, one of his teammates comes up. And she obviously knows him and is willing to talk to him and gets all excited to talk to him. And then she goes off with one of her friends who she knows as well. And he gets talking to his teammate, Prescott. There we go. So his teammate, Prescott, is standing there and he learns that she used to be like kind of a big popular deal in high school. And he has known her since then. And he quickly tells Lachlan, she's not your type. Back off, basically.
Because all of the boys on the team too call dibs of who to bang, basically. And she is off the table. She's not allowed to be called dibs on at all.
Prescott makes it very clear that she is not allowed, which only makes Lachlan more intrigued.
Yeah. He's the, you tell me I can't, but I want to now.
So he decides, oh, that girl that she walked off with, that was her roommate. She was making eyes at him. Oh, he's going to go home with her because then he'll find out where she lives.
This is where the stalker part comes in, guys. It starts early and just keeps fucking going.
But it's so light and mild stalking that it's not.
For now.
Still, I still think it is the whole time.
Let's erase Ariel's search history because I feel
as somebody who actually reads like dark stalker stuff, like this is so like light and mild and like fluffy, and Crystal's like, disagree. You need like a stamp that you could just be like, disagree, or like a sound that like we know that means no, disagree, veto.
I don't veto a lot.
Right. That's what I mean. You could just be like, pew, press the button.
Oh my God.
So he doesn't sleep with her, the roommate, whose name is Marissa.
He just wants to know what her house looks like.
He just wants a chance at seeing Lila again. So he agrees to escort Marissa to a party again the next night. So he has a reason to go to their house again the next night. He himself says that he is becoming obsessive, which is very strange for him. He does not chase women. He doesn't. Yeah. Nope.
He's like, what the fuck? Who authorized these feelings?
And he has to make very clear to Marissa that he's not interested in her at this party. So,
I mean, right. To be fair, he
showed her attention.
Showed her attention, went home with her. She got clocks.
Marissa's no dummy. She can see. She can connect these dots. He finds out, though, that Lila and himself have the same middle name. And he finds it so faded that it must be so.
And he uses it every chance he gets.
Yeah, he only calls her Lila James now. Not just everyone calls her Lila, but he calls her Lila James. So he knows from being around now that she was invited to this party at this like country club that Prescott invited them to for this like pool party or something. He obviously was invited too because he's on the team and everything, but he wasn't originally going to go. But now he's definitely going because he heard she's going to go. So he gets there, and she, instead of her normal baggy clothes, she is in this bikini and this super cut out cover up. And all the boys are drooling over her and trying to call dibs. And he is like, no. And she's kind of like flirting with him, but also
still
like
keeping
super,
her walls up.
Yeah, but super giving him sass.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, he's loving it. He is loving it.
I don't think she thought that was going to be the reaction, but here we are.
So he gets to talk with Marissa, though. And Marissa warns him that she's been through a lot. And we learn that she's kind of been like a hermit for a few years. There's hints that there was a car accident and some kind of tragic thing that happened to her. And he's kind of like, I never see her around. Marissa is like, she only takes online classes. So she's never even on campus unless she has to do labs. She stays to herself. But Marissa makes it clear, like, I've never even seen her kind of spar with somebody. So clearly you spark her interest. Don't fuck it up or I will fuck you up. So
that is the kind of friend you need in life.
Yeah. Team Marissa. So we learn that Lila's father is like the mayor, and he always throws this senior sports ball, and it's a really big deal. And Lachlan is like the number one hockey player for the college, so he is being honored. Lila used to play soccer for the college, but she has not for a little while.
2 years.
And her father makes her go to this anyways. And she's really angry that it's the same night as the anniversary of her friend Luke's death, and that her father should have understood that. But the fact that he's having it on this night is, she can't comprehend that. So she's just trying to avoid everyone, and she just hates everyone there. And she goes to sit next to her friend Banks that she knows from the football team. And we learn that sometimes she actually helps out the football team as like a stand-in kicker, which is kind of neat and interesting. And she goes over to hide in the corner with him at the table when Lachlan comes and sits next to her. And he is kind of like, you know, there's lots of people here. It must be hard for you. Because she's made it very clear that she does not like people and she does not like to be around people. So he was kind of like checking in with her. It must be awful for you. And she has been holding herself in with the anniversary of her friend's death and being around all these people she hates. And for whatever reason, him saying that to her just opened the floodgates, and she just needed to excuse herself. And she goes outside and she just breaks down. So Lachlan follows her out there, and he's like, you know, what did I say? And he ends up just like holding her while she just bawls. And she's just like, you know, gets out of her system, and she needs to go fix her makeup in the guest house where she used to live. That's kind of her place at her dad's house, so that she can head back there. So he goes with her and kind of is just like hovering while she's fixing her makeup. And she kind of thanks him by kissing his hand, and just, it just shocks him that there was some kind of outward something from her. But she quickly pushes that all back and puts her walls back up and heads back to the party. And he does not like that she clearly is friends with Banks and that they have some kind of relationship at all, even if it's just friends. And he does not like that. He does not like this, because this is a new territory for him. So we learn that Lachlan has a dad who has been absent for most of his life. And apparently now he is sick. And now all of a sudden he wants to be in his life and make amends and be a part of his life now. And that his mom is moving in with him to take care of him. And Lachlan is not happy. And not the next time, no, the next time we see Lila, her dad is bribing her to go to a sports luncheon. Her dad is like one of the richest people in town, and Lila has been stashing money to be able to leave. She's got this countdown going. Once she graduates, she's out of there. There's been little hints along the way that she has a stalker, like a legit one, not this little light Lachlan
not the boy
thing going on. Yeah. And she just can't wait to be free from this place. So she allows her dad to bribe her to go to this luncheon, even though she says that the object of my worst nightmares is sitting in this room. She said, I've been able to avoid him this semester, but he always found a way to sneak back into my life somehow. Since he knew he'd done a good enough job silencing me, it was something he tried to do often. And it was a sports luncheon for athletes, and she wasn't one anymore. And it, a large part was because of him. And she's just angry. She doesn't want to be there.
I don't blame her one bit.
One of the reasons her dad wanted her to be there so badly was because her old coach was presenting her with a huge award as basically somebody that the younger girls who are coming in can look up to, because she's made that much of a difference on their school in just the 2 years that she played for them. And Lachlan once again checks in with her. The check-ins are so cute. Every time they see each other, he's, you know, checking in with her because there's so many people around. And he's just like, you know, is this horrible for you? Are you okay? Kind of thing. Is this a nightmare for you? Every time he checks in. And it's just so cute. It's just, it's great.
I think you mean it's cute.
It's great and cute. So she needs some space from all this. So she kind of goes to the bathroom and whatnot. And she has an encounter with, quote, him, unquote. That's all we get. And she quickly tries to get away from this man who makes her very uncomfortable. The smell of cigarettes that permeates from him is just a tell for her, and it's nauseating. And she just tries to get away from him, and she physically runs into Lachlan in her escape. And he kind of sees her distress and offers her a ride home. And they kind of get talking, and he can see that like her relationship with her dad is not like the best. And they get talking about how they could have a sad rich kid club and have auditions for it. And he asks her why she quit playing soccer. And she says, do you want the truth or what I tell everyone? He says, the truth. And she says, I can't give it to you until the semester is officially over. He says, you're joking. I'm not. Okay, well, what's the story you tell everyone else? That I'm overwhelmed with grief. Are you? I don't feel anything at all. So Marissa's birthday party is here. And the last couple years, she has allowed Lila to mope inside and miss her party. But this year, all Marissa wants for her birthday is for Lila to come to her party and be present. It's a big ask, but that is what she wants. And she feels like she's kind of formed this connection with Lachlan. And while she doesn't technically have any like claim on him, she still feels weird and jealous when she walks in and sees some girl like touching him and rubbing all over him while he's talking to somebody else.
I wonder why.
So she instead goes to play beer pong with Prescott and another one of their teammates, Mason. And Mason gets flirty with her. Lachlan sees this and does not like this.
That's my woman. His brain knows, and he just can't. He's such a dumb boy.
Such a dumb boy. And she is like, what the fuck?
Right?
She's like, I can't freaking believe you right now. I'm not something you can call dibs on. I'm a human being. I'm not the front seat of a fucking car. Because he's always Mason. Woman. He was like, I call dibs. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, you do not get to ruin my best friend's party. And you do not get to tell me who I can and can't speak to. What happened to Mandy, the girl who was touching him? Was she not doing it for you? Or did you finish with her and decide to come find me because you were bored and needed some entertainment?
And she never confronts anybody, but she just had fucking enough.
And he was really confused because he didn't even realize that this chick was touching him, because he is just so used to people just like grabbing at him and doing whatever. And he just tunes them all out. And he's just like, because
he's a dumb boy.
He is. He's a dumb fucking boy. And so she just storms off into the bathroom, because not only is she frustrated and upset with the situation, but now she's embarrassed that she lashed out at him and made a scene. So Lachlan is waiting at the door when she finally opens it.
Scares the ever-living shit out of her, too.
But he's all like, this has never happened to me before. I don't know what the fuck to do. I don't even know how you feel. I just know I never want to feel the way I did when I saw him with you. Ever again. And she is honest right back. She says, seeing her all over you like that was a nightmare. I hated it. I hated it so fucking much. And I hated that I hated it.
Yeah.
And they end up hugging. And he's all like, what am I going to do with you? And she's like, what do you want to do with me?
Girl starts flirting right back.
Oh, yeah. And so he's like, how much have you had to drink? And because he's like, pump the brakes.
Upstanding man.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing anything with you while you've had this much to drink.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was playing beer pong, all this stuff, and trying to drown him out. And then all of a sudden they're interrupted by these drunk girls who are trying to get all flirty with him.
Stupid drunk girls.
Yep. So they end up just going home for the night. But Lachlan is at her door the next day, first thing in the morning, to claim that kiss now that everyone's sober.
Yep.
It doesn't take long for that kiss to head to the bedroom.
To very much escalate. Yes.
Which surprised me a little bit. I thought it was going to be harder because of the vibes she was giving in the beginning.
But yes, but I would assume because of their connection, she just gave in. She was like, you know what? I can't fucking fight this. And something super different, because I don't know if this is where she openly admits it, but the feelings she's having, she's never, ever felt this way for literally anybody in her entire life. So
she starts to shut down a little bit, and he's like, no, you can't shut me out. Yeah, not now. Don't shut me out after this. And she's like, I'll tell you everything after your last game. I would tell you if I didn't think it was dangerous and could have some serious consequences, but I can't risk it. After your last game, I'll tell you. And he's like, okay, after my last game, when are you leaving?
2 days after his game, she will be leaving.
And she's like, I'm just thinking that now I understand why all these women want you so badly. And he's like, why are you thinking about that now? None of them have me the way you do.
Point.
They didn't mean anything. And plus, you have a framed picture with some guy. And I've had to tell myself that whoever he is doesn't matter because you're with me. So, and this is where we learn about Luke. And Lachlan has heard about this mysterious car accident. So that's where he first goes. And she's like, no, do you want that story or do you want Luke's? So we're going to learn about Luke first. And she says, do you want the real story or the one everyone else got? And he's like, there's two stories? Yep. She's like,
he knows about the accident too, because he Googled her like a psycho.
But not only that there is a
only enough
accident,
just barely right. enough. There's not a lot of information.
And he's like, what's the one everyone else got? That Luke committed suicide. He's like, well, what's the real one? He was murdered. Yes.
Oh boy.
And then so now he wants to know about the accident. And she's like, there's not much to tell. I was driving the car when it happened and I walked away with 3 cuts and a broken arm. And my mom died. It's another reason I need you to stay away. And he's like, what do you mean? Why? The accident wasn't just an accident. You silly boy.
Come on, put 2 and 2 together.
Like, he's like, do you know who caused it?
She does.
And do you think you know who caused it? I know who did it. And I'll tell you everything when I know it's safe. It's like, fine. If sticking around will make you comfortable, that's fine. Until we leave. And she's like, I'm always numb unless you're around. You make me feel. So, like we mentioned before, sometimes she kicks for the football team. Apparently, she's going to get to do it now. So she gets to kick for their field goals. And it's kind of cool. And Lachlan gets to see her do it. And it's pretty rad. And then so they have a party afterwards. And she makes it very clear to him that they need to stagger their times arriving at this party and leaving this party so that nobody knows he means anything to her and vice versa. And then we get the scene that we got initially from the prologue. So the prologue of this book was like a cut out scene from the rest of the story. And I did mention at the beginning because it wasn't the beginning, but
it's one of those things that we've talked about before where it's like a window.
It's a preview.
Yeah.
A glimpse.
A little glimpse.
Which is not my favorite kind of prologue, but it's fine. A lot of people do it. It's just not my fave. So she goes to get in her car to go get ready for this party. And her window has been smashed out. Cigarette butts are put out all over her car. She clearly knows it is him, the stalker. And she knows he must be watching, so she can't like let him know that she is affected by any of this. And she just gets in her car, goes to get ready, because she is not going to let him mess up her night. This party is invite only. It's Prescott's special party. It should be safe. There's only 5 days left before she's going to leave. She just has to get through these 5 days. So she gets ready and heads to the party. She's not going to let him derail her from her last little bit of college experience. She gets to the party and there's more people than there usually are at Press's party, but they know that these people are personally vetted by Press. They know the rules. Nobody's allowed to have phones there. It's one of those what happens at this party stays at this party type of situations.
Yeah, because and that's why she goes to Press's parties, is because she knows that they are safe and that this person
and there are
will
consequences if anyone tries to break any of these rules, and nobody wants to get kicked out of the invite on these. So all of a sudden, Lachlan's there. Is this a nightmare for you? Checking in with her again. And this time she answers, it never is when I'm with you. And he's surprised because he's like, the liquor was unopened and you drank from it. And she's like, you were with me. You're not going to let anything happen to me. Because he's noticed that she will not drink from opened containers.
Smart.
Yes. And she kind of basically says, fuck it. This party is safe. And they kiss each other in public, kind of outing them. And they get to be together in slightly public. And it's nice. So.
Yes. Without the fear of this man, because there's no evidence. They're together.
So she goes to one of Lachlan's hockey games next. It's his second to last game. So she's got to go to one. She's got to go. And it's funny because coincidentally, they wear the same number in their sports. And Lachlan, again, says it's another reason that they're meant to be together. But sitting behind them is his mom and brother, who Lachlan has told all about Lila James.
And it's shocking to his mother, too, because he never brings up women's names. His mom knows he's a man whore.
Yeah.
And so if he's consistently bringing her up and talking about her, she obviously means something to him and is important to him. Because again, giant man whore.
And Marissa, who's with her, is basically like, he told his mom.
It's so fucking cute.
So after the game, she goes to wait in the truck for Marissa and Banks, who went to the game with her. And Lachlan surprises her in the truck. They have some...
They bang.
Yeah, they have some truck time.
Sorry.
Nope. So it's time finally for Lachlan's last college game. This is going to be a fun game for them. They already have all their spots basically lined up with the draft that are going to be going pro. He is good. Like, he feels good about it. Like, he says he has an amazing spot and he's ready. Like, his team is already up. They're already going to win their season. This is a fun game for them. And they're in the locker room, kind of like having their last little practice before they head over to the arena. And he's kind of like, you know, Lila hadn't given me the green light to tell people about us, but it's the last freaking day. It's my last day to talk with these guys about him. And I want them to know. Besides, after I win the game, she's going to tell me everything. So it's just a few hours. So he tells all his teammates about them together. And, you know, all the coaches and everybody are in the room and everyone's so happy for him. Everyone's cool. And so he heads to the arena. And as he's walking in, all of a sudden he is hit from behind and lights out. So Lila is running behind to get to the game because of the rain. So she ends up having to walk into the arena by herself. And there's no one really around in the parking lot because everyone's already inside. All of a sudden, she is yanked back by her hair. Do you think you would get away from me this easily? Did you think you and your little boyfriend would skip town without consequence? And she's like, no, please don't. He's like, are you pleading for yourself or him? You're too late for both. And she is trying to fight back and it is not working very well. He is like pummeling at her and she is like fading in and out of consciousness. And she can like just feel him stomping on her ribs. And it's all of a sudden, like it's lights out for her. And yep. Then she can hear these voices and she wakes up in a hospital and she's asking for Lachlan. She's like, no, wait, no. And she's assured by Prescott, who is there, that he's okay. They took him to another hospital, but he's okay. And she's like, no, I need to go. I can't see him. I need to go now. Prescott's like, I'm going to go check on him. And she's like, I need to write something for him. I need to, can you bring this with you?
And I think, doesn't she also give him black roses? Flowers, as well?
Yeah. So Lachlan.
Prescott wakes. Doesn't think this is a great idea, by the way.
No, but he does what he's told. So Lachlan wakes up 3 days after he is knocked out. And he's, you know, Lila, like, where's Lila? And he can see that she's not in the room and he can see Preston's face and he's just, she left, didn't she? Preston's, yeah, she's gone. But what do you mean she's gone? She's safe. She said what happened was a wake up call and she's too scared to be anywhere near you just in case you won't see her again. He's like, I'll find her. She doesn't want you to look for her. She's a ghost now, Luck. I'm telling you, you won't find her. She wants you to live your dream life and says you can't if she's in it. And the flowers and it says, I'm so fucking sorry.
I love you too much. That ends part one.
Yes. That was part one of our story. Yeah.
I had theories after part one, but I wasn't fully sold on who the dude was. I had my theories going.
I also had theories going. Were you right?
One of the few options was correct, yes.
My main running option was correct.
Yeah, it took me a little bit. As we got further in, I was like, oh, it's got to be this person. So here's the thing. Part two for me, great. Lachlan is much more unhinged in part two.
He's had 3 hard years. They so part two starts 3 years later.
And Lachlan became the even more of a morally gray character in this second half.
And there's another reason why I truly thought this would have been a better duet.
Because
this one had, it was separate. They were so separate. And this one even had its own prologue. You know what I mean? I really felt like this could have been a great duet. And it would have flowed better for a lot of people.
They could have just split it up into 2 separate books so that people could separate. But I'm happy
it was fine for me.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
So everybody's aware. Second half gets wild. And the thing is, so the beginning part, because I think it's 35% is that when the second half started?
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, I am 35% of the way into this book. What the fuck else can
happen? It's going to happen next. Yeah.
What the hell?
Don't worry. Buckle up. There's plenty.
Side note. After the lovey shit happened, I'm like, what the hell else is going to happen?
You're going to be surprised at one of my main complaints.
Great.
It wasn't the length. You're going to be shocked. You wish it
was longer?
No, you're going to be on the floor.
Okay. So part two, yes, takes place 3 years later. And Lachlan is going to be working for his dad's company. He's going to be retiring.
Starts with a prologue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Continue.
No, that's okay. It starts with a prologue saying that Lachlan is going to be retiring. And he's there with his teammates on his last day. And he's convincing them that it's the right move. Because if I haven't been able to move on, she hasn't either. There's no moving on from this.
Oh, yeah. He has not forgotten her in 3 fucking years.
And his teammates, well, what will you do when you find her?
Oh boy.
You know, every time you talk about her, it looks like you want to fucking kill her. And he's, I'm going to make her life hell. And that's how we start part two.
Is we're like, oh, so we've hit the anger stage. But to be fair, completely understandable. There are reasonings behind some things, but
I still think he got his little feelings hurt and took it a little too far. But
he did, but he didn't know the side of what happened to her.
But so, he knew enough that there was a side. That's what I mean. Like, he needed to fucking.
He was out for 3 days, and all she sent was a note and saying, "Peace the fuck out."
But he knew that there was that fear. He knew that there was enough.
But he didn't know the story because she was supposed to tell him. So what the fuck is he supposed to do?
Not be an angry prick.
You don't want a man to be an angry prick in a... Okay. I understood.
I'm not saying I don't understand. I'm saying it's stupid. He needs to fucking take a chill pill. It wasn't that I wasn't into it. I'm just...
Did you not read him in the first half of the book? This could have only gone one way.
He was like this in real life. Like, I would probably stab him and put him in jail.
No one wants these men in real life.
So, Lila has changed her name.
This is how people go to jail.
Yes. Don't do this. You'll go to jail. Lila has changed her name. Her name is now Delilah.
I had thoughts about that, but we're just going to ignore them. Yeah. But what is her full name, Ariel?
Delilah Duke Guzman, which is a dumb name, but she had to keep the Duke in there for Lachlan, because Lachlan Duke.
Honestly,
never said that.
It was more of a reminder of a him, but that's got to like destroy you every single fucking time you got to sign it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word, and the word's escaping me at the moment.
It's just antagonizing her, really. It's just like that knife cut every time.
I'm assuming it was on
slowly
purpose.
Destroying her soul. Oh, yeah. Delilah has finished med school, and she has round-the-clock jobs to stay busy. She has also been in therapy, and she hears about Lachlan's retirement and is concerned because she literally left him so that he could have this career.
It is also to be known that she only learns about Lachlan's stuff because other people are telling her, because she's not actively
purposefully not. Shudders. So once again, it's Marissa's birthday. It's the only time Marissa can get her to go out. She has this soccer friend, Wade, that she works with that clearly has a thing for her that goes out with her, Marissa, and Prescott. Apparently, Marissa and Prescott have been sleeping together for a while, but it's just like a friends
with
benefits situation.
It's just, let's just bang.
Right.
It's fine.
They're busy adults, and that's how they get the rocks off. Cool beans. So, yeah, this guy, Wade, clearly has a thing for her, but she is not interested.
And she's told him many times that she's not interested.
So Lachlan is now the CEO of his father's company. Apparently, a deal was made while he was in the hospital after the stalker attacked him that he would be given 3 years to play hockey, and then he would be allowed, if he still hadn't been able to find her in that time, he would be allowed to work for this company because his company is some kind of super sleuthy security company that can find anyone anywhere. And he's literally giving up his future and stuff to find her and work for his father's company, who he doesn't really want anything to do with, so that he can find her. So he has access to that. And we learn that also a contingency deal to this is that he has to follow through with his inheritance, which means
he had to be 25 and also married, but he's already hit one. So now he's just going to.
He's like, I am 25. What is the problem here? But no, you have to be married and 25. Yeah. So.
And guess what? There's only one person that man wants to marry, or will.
So he's.
There's only one person.
He's so frustrated too. He's like, who changes their identity? Someone running from someone. Obviously. I need to know who it is. And when I find out, I'm going to make them pay triple. Once for what they did to her, once for making her run from me, and once for fucking me over. But first, I'm going to make her pay.
Because
and then
Also, the way he got fucked over was while he was in the hospital, he ended up losing the top two choices of teams that he wanted because he had gotten moved down in the draft. Because of the injuries and everything, all of that happened. So this man has had a lot of shit taken away from him because of this stupid human being of a parasite who needs to die.
Then he finds out that her name change is Delilah Duke Guzman. He's like, if she wants, she can keep the first name. I'll probably never call her that, so it won't matter. The Duke is permanent, though. I need to get the James back in there, but the Duke is staying.
Yeah. And the only reason that he has been, so he's been stalking her this whole time. I don't know if this is when we find it out, but I'm going to say it anyways. And he's been stalking Prescott stuff because he's just trying to get a glimpse of her. And the only reason he knows what she fucking looks like is because of Prescott posting the one thing, two things, on Marissa's birthday to his close friends. And he thinks that Prescott did it on accident and that he wanted to see him before he took that shit down. And this motherfucker, because he's tried to find her this whole time and has not had any good luck with any of this for the last 3 years. But now that he has access to the company shit, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. Liam's not really.
So yeah, so he gets her name, he gets her location, and he goes there. Because now that he has taken over this company, he has access to all this stuff. He's in training to take over the company.
He's using that fucking resources to his advantage, though.
You know. So Wade convinces Lila Delilah to go on this freaking creepy ass fucking date. Because I say creepy ass fucking date because Wade's a creepy ass fucking dude. He just really can't take a fucking hint.
Well, no.
And because she repeatedly tells him that this is not a date.
Like 60,000 times.
Like they're just getting food after they worked, and he keeps calling it a date and she keeps telling him it's not a date, and he's being fucking creepy ass. And then he keeps trying to convince her to kiss him and she's telling him no.
She's like, I don't kiss.
Right. And he's trying to persuade her to do it. And it's just gross. And all of a sudden Lachlan is there. Yeah. Put your lips on her and I will make you swallow your fucking teeth.
Oh.
So now she knows Lachlan's back. So they get rid of Wade. Not in that way, because that would be illegal. Like many things he's done so far. But he hasn't resorted to murder yet.
There's a lot of illegal things that he does.
He hasn't resorted to murder yet. And
he wants to.
They head back to her place. And she's mad that he just kind of rode in on his high horse. And instead of just being like, hi and nice, and he was all pissy and clammy and just,
I mean,
he's all basically like, pack a bag. And she's like, really, what's your plan after I pack a bag? And he's like, you're gonna marry me.
Excuse the what?
And he tells her that he will pay her to marry him. He tells her about his inheritance thing and all this stuff, and that he's got to go to the sports luncheon thing on the way in Fairview. And she was like, no. She's like, I can't go back to Fairview. And he's like, the exact reason I agreed to attend lunch in the first place. She's like, I'll hate you for it. He's like, I don't care. When will we be back? And he's all like, you will be back in time to start your residency. And she's like, well, what the fuck? And she's like, fine, but I can't leave for 2 days because I need to finish up what I'm doing, because I have a couple coaching things that I have to do before I have a break before my residency. And he's like, fine.
After a little arguing back and forth, he caves
yes.
The 2 days.
Yeah. There's lots of arguing throughout this. I very much toned it down. This was like 10 pages of arguing, but
I think that's a bit aggressive.
I'm pretty sure it was a lot. Anyways. And so she starts packing and she's kind of just defeated, and she asks for help and he just ends up just throwing things into her suitcase. And
which she hates because she likes everything meticulously. He did it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. To fuck with her. They're kind of like in a battle of wills at this point. So she goes out to breakfast with Wade and Marissa because Wade, that was the only way she could get Wade to leave that night, was if she promised that she'd go to breakfast with him the next morning. He could see that she was fine. And Marissa joins in because she was texting her that night, kind of like that Lachlan was back in. Marissa wants all the details.
And Lachlan's just creepily following them
and
staring
watching
from a distance.
Marissa is like optimistic about this whole thing, but hates that involves Fairview in any way.
Wasn't it
Fairfield, whatever.
Was when he was throwing all her shit in there, didn't he find her cactus shaped vibrator?
It's not that it was cactus shaped. It had the
I think
the
clit he called it the, he was like, why does it look like a cactus?
Why does it have arms like a cactus? Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No. So she goes to her coaching session with her tiny little humans, and he gets to see her interaction with all these kids, and it's breaking him a little bit because he's going into all this with such like a hard I need to hate her exterior, and all these little things are like cracking a little for him, a little bit at a time. And he sees this dad talking to her and taking pictures of the kid, and
Cooper.
He's taking pictures of him, sending it to Liam. Who's this? I don't know. Who is it?
He goes, I want you to find out. He goes, why don't you just ask
facial
her?
Recognition now. He's like, why did he rob a bank?
We can't just do this on every single person that Lila talks to. That's not how this works.
He's like, why don't you fucking ask her who it is? He's like, I need you to find out who this is and hack into his phone and delete all his pictures.
Because
he's taking pictures of Lila with his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's posing for it. And she does it all the time.
Right.
With this one specific. Like, she's cool. Which, okay. That was a complaint of mine in my brain. Is that she changed her identity and avoids being put out there and yet letting your picture get taken.
I know. You say this man has all this great pull and yet you're not worried about any of this.
That was like, I know. When I read that, I was like, usually
if you were in hiding. And also she is going to med school. So clearly she was able to change her name in a way that was like legal to have all her credits transferred. So then why wasn't he able to follow those tracks? Why wasn't anyone able to follow those tracks?
Well, he's dumb. So there's that. But
Lachlan, anybody, why wasn't anyone able to follow those tracks? It was just weird for me.
Well, she locked everything. I don't know. I just thought the picture taking thing was a little weird for someone who's trying to avoid being seen and did all of this work to get her identity hidden. You don't know what that man's doing with your pictures.
So Marissa sees him at the field and he tells her, you should go to Fairview in a few days. And she's kind of like, why? He's like, that's where I'm marrying Lila. And she is pissed.
Well, because she told him a long time ago, if you do anything to hurt her, I will fucking kill you. And this is the one thing to be fair, again, he does not understand situation of what is happening in Fairview.
Right. She says she'll be in danger the moment she gets there. Why would you make her marry you in the one place she hates? And he's like, what does it matter where we get married? And she's like, that's the point, isn't it? You want her to suffer. Do you know how much she... Forget it. You don't even deserve to know. You know, after the accident, after Luke, I had to endure her tears and screams and then nothing, fucking nothing, until you came along and made her feel all these different emotions. God, I've known her since we were born, and I have never seen her as happy as she was with you. I was so grateful for you, but now it's clear that you're the worst thing that's ever happened to her. And he's like, well, I guess we're even. She's the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
This could have all been solved.
And
with a little communication,
she tries to go and he's all like, well, wait, who's that guy? Oh, and she's like, really? Now you want me to help you identify the man who's a threat to you? Really?
He's just unhinged.
Like, she doesn't like either of these guys, but she seems happy here. What would make you think that? Well, you're her best friend. I guess you'd know a lot better than I would. She just seems happy. She smiles here. She smiles here. She has her moments, sure. She's happy when she's with the kids. I've seen her smiling. The other day, Prescott posted a picture where she was laughing while shithead number one was carrying her. On my birthday? Yeah. You thought she looked happy on my birthday? I know what I saw. I saw her. She was laughing. Lachlan, you're so fucking stupid sometimes. She's not happy. She's just gotten really good at pretending. So he's so determined to have his goal, but he keeps having these little things that are cracking along the way. So Lila doesn't want to go home and have Lachlan in her space. So she goes to Marissa's business instead She has like some kind of smoothie business. And so hangs out there. And Wade comes to talk to her. And then, of course, Lachlan and Wade have to have this fucking pissing contest. So she just goes off into the back and naps for an hour.
She didn't mean to nap for an hour, no. But I mean, so she's like, this bitch late. Is exhausted. This is a yeah. lot.
So now she's running late for her afternoon co-ed class. So she busts out of there. And one of the little turds in her class is hitting on her.
He's not much younger than her, though.
No.
But yeah, he's hitting on her. And Lachlan's not really thrilled about that part.
No. So afterwards, he basically shoves her into the wall and tells her that she's his and shows her she's his by getting her off. And so then she shows him.
He has been fighting because he even said like the first kiss was an absolute mistake and he can't do that anymore. And now he just keeps crossing his own lines because he's trying to keep that anger.
So she shows him around her work and her office. He sees that she has pictures of him in her office.
Yeah. Taped to the bottom of her monitor.
Yeah. All these little things, Jim.
But then he has the thought process of like, why would she have these if like all these thoughts are going through his head?
So they go out for burgers and he can't help himself. You know, why the pictures? Because it's been driving him crazy since they were there. And he's like, just answer the question. And she's like, last time you asked me a question, you humiliated me. That's the only thing you've done since you got here. So forgive me for not wanting to play your little game. I'm leaving with you tomorrow. I'm going to a place I thought I'd escaped from for life. And you know what? I'm not doing this for the money. Sorry. I'm doing this for you. If I wanted to, I'd tell you who attacked you and let whatever happens to you happen. But for some stupid fucking reason, I can't do that because despite what a piece of shit you've been to me, I can't bear anything happening to you. And I feel like going with you might somehow save you from harm. So fuck you, Lachlan Duke. And you know what else? You weren't the only one who was hurt that day. I was also attacked and sent to the hospital. So just fuck you. And he's like, what do you mean you were attacked? What hospital? What are you talking about? And she's just like, you know, you don't deserve to know anything that happened to me. You don't deserve to know anything about me at all. Don't ask me for anything else. I don't have any more to give to you. And she just walks away and needs space for a little bit. And when she comes back, she has all of her walls built up and they just eat in silence, go back to her place for the night. And he is just like, I'm so sorry. She's kind of ignoring him. He's like, did you hear me? I said, I'm sorry. She's like, I heard you. I'm trying to figure out if I give a fuck anymore. He's like, I'm so sorry. Don't stop caring. And he just holds her while they sleep. So fun fucking times. So they fly, they get on a plane and then they land on Chicago and she kind of needles at him a little bit, like, do I need a white dress? Do you want one? What do you mean, do I want one? I don't know the protocol for a fake relationship and a fake wedding.
He does not like that very much.
It's not fake. This is not fake. You have every right to be upset with me. I'll give you that. But don't you dare say what we have is fake. She's just like, whatever. I don't really care anymore.
He's not happy.
Not happy at all. So they go to this charity breakfast with his teammates, and all of his teammates know her name. He's clearly talked about her.
He's talked about her, and I believe a couple of his teammates he grew up with, at least one of them. That's what it sounded like. I don't remember which one it was.
Mason? Anywho, so they go straight from that to a company networking party, to where he is forced to make rounds and talk to people. So she kind of goes out on the balcony and ends up talking to this guy. And he does not like that. He gets super jealous. So they end up leaving early. And so now Lachlan is pent up. He's pent up from her saying that they're fake. He's pent up from her saying she doesn't care. He's pent up from his jealousy. He's pent up from seeing her with his friends and interacting and everything. And then they get to his apartment building and all of a sudden they're waiting for this elevator. They get on this elevator and there's all these day drunken frat boys that are crowding this elevator, hitting on her, and he is literally about to fucking snap. So he ends up going caveman on the whole thing and picks her up and carries her out of the elevator and doesn't put her down until he gets into his apartment, into his bedroom, and puts her down on the bed. And he starts stripping off all of his clothes. And he's just like, take your clothes off now.
And she just looks and he goes, now, Lila.
He's like, I'm not going to be gentle. And she's just like, I don't care. Just fuck me.
Fucks with
Maybe
him.
This way I can get you out of my system. And he's like, you're going to regret saying that. He wants to play this game? Fine. Let's fucking play.
And
he fucking fucks her face so hard to call her bluff.
Yeah.
And she's like, fine. And gives her fakest smile and turns around, gets on her hands and knees because that was his preferred position when he fucked women before her. And they have basically battle sex going back and forth, deciding like who is like being the top person to battle it out until he flips her the fuck over, ends up like having her look at him, and it ends up being more of like an intimate thing. He's, does this feel fake to you? And he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, me too.
Yeah. I do want to mention before we get continuing further, while they were headed to the charity, because we talked about the charity, they were talking about the courthouse and stuff. And then he had said that they were going to get married in Fairview. And she like lipped her shit. And he goes, oh, but it's where we met. And he goes, but I said we were. So they're no longer, he had changed his mind that they're no longer going to get married there. But she obviously was pissed. Anyway, sorry.
She was mad that he would even the contemplate. Thought that was
yeah
a possibility to begin with.
Yeah,
so sorry, I think Marissa helped him
see the realize, light as yeah. to what the fuck he was doing being an idiot.
Yeah.
Dumb.
So then they go to Lachlan's parents' house because they are throwing an engagement cocktail party for them. She sees his parents, meets his dad. And she sees Liam again, and she ends up having this conversation with Liam, and she finds out through Liam that he gave up hockey for her because he couldn't find her, and that was the only way that he could find her. And she's like, oh, that's why he's been so angry. He gave up his dream, and he thought that I was living mine while he's had to sacrifice, kind of thing. So she is kind of overwhelmed and upset by this. And she goes to the bathroom and she has no idea how Lachlan knows that she was upset, but somehow he knows and follows her. And he is like, what did my brother say to you?
What you probably should have told me, you dumb fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said yes. If you had told me exactly what you wanted it for, I would have said yes.
And not only that, but she's like, you're pissed off because your brother said something to upset me, even though you've been trying to hurt me from the moment you found me.
She's spitting facts. Look at Christ.
Everything escalates real quick and they can't keep their hands off each other. So then they go back to their apartment and she's like, we need to have a serious conversation if you're taking me back to Fairview. And he is like, well, I can't do it if we're going to do it on the bed, kind of thing. She just shut up. Just stay on that side. I'll try. She's like, do you want to start? Kind of being the one like to ask questions type of thing. For some reason, his first thought is, why the pictures? She's like, really? That's your first question of all these things? We're going back to Fairview and that's, well, you never told me. You know how I get. And she says, I forgot what Luke looks like. I think about him and Mom a lot now, but I can't fully remember his face anymore. His parents took down all his profiles, so I can't just look up a picture of him. All my stuff is at my dad's house, and I didn't get to pack that up. And after everything happened, I was terrified I'd forget what you look like. So I put pictures of you where I had to see you every day. It hurts. It still hurts. But I couldn't live with myself if I forgot your face. I wanted those memories.
No. So
then she tells him that she went to therapy.
That was part of the condition. And not just like regular therapy. She's doing hypnotherapy. because it is very difficult for her to talk about it. And she asked the therapist if they would record every session. It's not that she even watches them, but she wanted them recorded just in case she needed them for later on for some reason.
Or wanted that anchor or reflection or whatever. So
yeah.
She's like, I want you to watch one of them. That way she doesn't have to go through it again and he can just watch it. And it is basically what happened
with the accident.
From the car accident. Yes. So we learn that her stalker had been drugging and raping her since she was 14. And that the first few times she had no idea because she was being drugged until she was suspicious and didn't drink what she was supposed to drink. And then had to live through the nightmare of everything happening. And after that time where she was obviously fully aware, the man backed off for a while. And then she was sleeping on the couch one day when he tried again. And the mom came in and caught the whole thing. And she was very upset. They ran out of the house. They rushed to the vehicle. They're going to go to the police station, but he is hot on their tails and he rams into them and forces them to get into the car accident. And the mom is basically kind of like, how many times has this happened? She's like, I don't know. He was drugging me before. He started when I was 14. And she's like, why didn't you tell me? She's like, I didn't know until it was too late. And then he hadn't done it for years until today. And I thought he wouldn't do it anymore. I thought he'd stopped. And the mom is so upset and she's trying to get her phone. And she finally gets 911 dialed when everything goes black. And all she can hear is the crunching and the airbag. And she's just screaming for her mom. Then Lila tells Lachlan that the man from the story is her godfather. It is David Jameson, who he knows as
the hockey coach.
He used to be the hockey coach.
That's
his like
saying.
First year, but he has been basically the major advisor for the school. So he knows him as Coach Jameson because he was the coach in his first year, but he's literally at every single practice, every single game. He's like a huge mentor and advisor for him. Lachlan's like, no. And Lila's like, yeah, he was the one who fucked you out of those contracts. He's very close with those coaches. If he wanted you on those teams, he would have made it happen. He made it so it didn't happen. And she explains how that time that he had stopped for a while was when she was lucid. She told her friend Luke about it. And her friend Luke went ballistic and threatened Jameson and said that he was going to the cops, and then all of a sudden he was found dead.
Yeah, because Luke ended up going to Jameson's house and took a pot to his car, and yeah.
And Prescott and Lila found Luke's body, and while all the emergency people were there, James was in the kind of sidelines with a smile on his face.
Yeah, because Jameson's cousin is the chief of police currently, but he...
So back then he had a lot some major pull in the department, but now he's the chief of police. So she's like, it's even worse now.
Yeah, because...
And because now he is the head of all sports. Now he's like that mentor for everybody.
So that's why she quit soccer, because she didn't want him to have any power over her.
Like, yeah.
So
and she's like, why do you think I left? Why do you think I stayed away from you? I couldn't walk around with a public figure and risk him finding me, finding us. I knew if you were alone, he wouldn't be able to do anything to you. So I stayed away. And he's like, I'm going to fucking murder him. Yeah. And she's like, you can't just... He's like, yes, I can. I'm going to kill him.
And of course, Lachlan's kind of blaming himself for the attack too, because he's the one who announced to the entire locker room that they were dating.
And that Jameson was in that room. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So the next morning, Lachlan is brooding on the couch at the crack of dawn, and Lila finds him And he just looks miserable. And he's all like, you don't have to marry me. And she's like, no, I will marry you. That was never what this was about.
And he's like, well, you're not fucking coming with me to Fairview then.
Yes, I am. That's what's going to keep you safe. But you know what you can't do? You can't quit hockey. And
it's gonna be her stipulation is he has to get back into it.
He ends up proposing to her for like realsies. And he still has the ring he had for her from college.
It's so cute. And it's a black speckled. It's so beautiful. And it's perfect.
So, yeah. He shows Lila around his office. And they have a quick lunch. And then he goes back to work. And Lila just kind of chills in the coffee shop across the street while she waits for him. And she gets a text from Marissa. And Marissa's like, did you see this? Isn't this the event you were at? And it's a link from some kind of, you know, socialite thing with an article about the charity event that they were at. And there's pictures in it. And one of the pictures has Jameson in it. And she is like, fuck, that was the feeling. Like, he's known. I'm sure he's waiting and biding his time. And then all of a sudden she feels someone near her. And you're being rude, Lila. Did you not learn your lesson? I guess I'll have to keep you drugged until I'm done with you. And like, I mean, she's at this coffee shop, by the way.
Now she's thinking, oh, he's probably known where I have been this entire time.
And she's like, let me go. And he's like, that's not going to happen. You're going to get up and you're going to follow me out back. And if you try anything stupid, I'll wait outside the Duke building or the apartment until your little boyfriend leaves. Is that what you want? And she sees Ronnie, who has been the person driving them. It's kind of like the security that Lachlan has hired, the person driving them around outside the building. And she's trying to flag him down. So Jameson sees that she's not fully alone and he lets go of her and heads out that back door. And she books it and runs out to Ronnie. And he's like, you know, what's going on? And she kind of tells him and they look around and there's no trace of Jameson. So they get to Fairview. And Lachlan definitely has lots of security around. He wants to make sure that everything is safe. And they go to the sports luncheon. And she gets mic'd up so that if he goes near her and says anything to her, if she can get his confession, it will be on tape and they will have hard evidence against him. So they have a security team around the perimeter, like around the luncheon, and then they have a security team that is listening in on her mic. She is very clear with Lachlan that because she sees Prescott and he's like, dude, if he knows everything now, you're not going to get a chance to do any of this. He's going to take care of this and he's going to kill him and he's going to end up in jail. And she's like, no. So she goes and tries to take care of this with Lachlan. She's like, if you're in jail, I'm going to be forced to go back to Rhodes. And who knows? Maybe in a few years, I'll be tired of being alone. Might want to date somebody new. I want to have a husband, some kids running around. And he is fucking going out of his mind. Like, I won't kill him. Just stop.
And he's basically like, if it gets to that point, just tell me to stop. Which, I mean, we all know he would just murder him to death. I mean, typically that's what murder happens is to death, but you know.
So she sees her father while she's at the luncheon, obviously, because, you know, her father, big deal at this luncheon. And he invites them to breakfast the next day. And that was a big interaction for her. So she just needs a breather and she goes to the bathroom. And guess who's in the bathroom? Jameson. He grabs her and, oh, weird. There's a back door to the bathroom. And he's like, we have some unfinished business, don't you think? And he sets off the fire alarm so that A, you can't really hear her mic anymore, and it causes people, he would not think he would know that, but it causes
the I was gonna say he doesn't know about the mic.
Right, but that's a consequence for her. But yeah. It causes the rest of the building to yes, chaos ensue. So he drags her out the back door of the bathroom. And she's like, no, please don't do this. No. And he's like, this is on you. You know what happened to the last little girl who stepped out of line? She's dead. You keep stepping out of line. I guess your mother's death wasn't enough. Luke's death wasn't enough. Not even attacking your boyfriend was enough. And she is fighting back. She's kicking back. And she's like, what is taking them so long? And in all the chaos of the fire alarm and everything, the drone is having trouble locating her that they were using to find her location. And they're having trouble.
Doesn't she start like yelling her location?
She starts screaming it. And he's just so single-minded. He's not even like understanding. She's like, please don't do this. And he's like, you can blame yourself for this and for whatever happens to your boyfriend when I'm done with you. And she's just fighting him back and fighting him back. And she's just screaming. She's like, side of building, golf area. And luckily, Lachlan was not waiting for no drone. And he starts just running everywhere around this building. And luckily he heard her screaming because he is there and he is yanking Jameson off her, who is
and then
trying to rape her.
The living shit out of this.
Jameson is like, this is none of your business. She's not yours. And she's my fucking wife. And then Jameson's like, what the fuck? That's right, motherfucker. My fucking wife. And then he just starts pummeling him and beating him until Lila is like, stop. Like, Lachlan, no.
And it took her a bit to finally get him to stop because he's
like, I can't lose you. Stop. Please, you promised. And she finally gets him to stop. And then all of a sudden, everyone else swarms in. And poor Ronnie is like, the drone kept going over all the area. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. As long as you got everything on the mic. Did you get everything on the mic? And he's like, yes, got everything. So the police all show up and they escort them to the ambulances because Ronnie is very clear. Like, they need to be checked out by a medic. They'll answer questions if and when they're ready. And she is shocked because they're actually listening to him. This is weird because she's tried with the police route before and no one.
Yeah, she even tried when she first left, when they got to California, she had reported everything and they just blew it off.
Yeah. So they're getting checked out at the ambulance when all of a sudden she sees her dad running through the crowd of people. And he's like, what the hell happened? And she just looks like, Ronnie, tell the officer I'm ready to speak now. A woman. I will only speak to a woman. And she looks at her dad. Stay here and listen. So an officer comes over and she tells the whole everything. Thing. And her dad is like fucking.
He's devastated.
Melting down. And Lachlan's so pissed off. He's like, don't you even come near her.
And it's very clear her dad had no idea. And he.
But it is his best friend and he should have been more vigilant and he should have.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't always see that.
Right. But she was obviously uncomfortable with going all these places. He forced her to go. It's just, he should have had some kind of something.
He should have, and he was more focused probably on his mayoral duties and like doing all this stuff that he
and he himself was like, I'm sorry that you weren't my priority. I'm sorry I was a bad dad kind of thing.
Yeah, he definitely was
He sees his faults, especially after his wife died. He really shut down.
He was very apologetic
and he's just like, please will you come over, I'm sorry, just come back, I want to see you guys, please. And she's like, maybe tonight before we leave, definitely, we just need to go back to the hotel. And yeah, so they go back to the hotel and they get cleaned up and clear-headed to be able to go visit her father. It's a productive visit, you know. She's able to go into his house, which she has not been able to step foot in since her mother has died. And she feels like they made progress and she invites him to her wedding. And
we also learned that he is no longer with Marie.
Yeah, his girlfriend, which I never mentioned, but that's okay.
No. So the huge thing of contention between the two of them is right after her mother died, Marie basically moved in and she suspected of him having an affair with this woman, right.
When in reality he had just shut down and just like let it all happen.
And so when Lila ended up leaving, he went into spiral depression and he ended things with Marie. And he gave up his mayor position as well and just reclused himself.
So, yeah, the next time we see everybody or anyone, it's Liam barging into Lachlan's office. And he is like, do you know where Lila is? And Lachlan's worried. He's like, did something happen? And at first, Lachlan's like, well, it's not about the Jameson thing, because they found out that the night before that because of the injuries caused by Lachlan, that Jameson will be in a coma for the rest of his life. And that his family has decided to let him go and pull the plug because him being in a coma for the rest of life is not. So obviously he is not the reason that she would be in danger. So he's like, what? So Liam's like, no, it's not about that. And Lachlan's like, oh, then she's out buying her wedding dress. And he's like, no. And he shows the calendar. Apparently she has a 2-hour blocked out meeting with their father.
And he's like, you just now finding this out? He goes, I haven't been doing it. Like, what the fuck?
It wasn't my job to watch them. Yeah. So they bust into their father's office, and their father, their mother, Lila, and Prescott are all sitting around drinking champagne, looking like they're just having brunch, having a good time.
Yup.
He's so mad. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, Prescott's my lawyer. He's there as my lawyer. So, and the father's just like, I'm not getting involved. And he's like, my wife is in your office. You're already involved. He's like, your fiance. And he's like, I'm going to jail today. And Lila's like, I wanted to go over the contract you made me sign blindly. Because when he originally, you know, told her that he was marrying her, he made her sign a contract. He's like, you had to do it today, the day before our wedding? Wait, did you change something? She's like, some things. What things? She's like, some things I didn't like, and I also added some stipulations. And she goes and gets the paper. I added them not to write it in legalese, sounding so amused with herself. And he's like, I'm too frustrated to be amused. And this is what she changed. It says, Lila James, whatever her last name is, agrees to waive the right to the money owed to her for the marriage to Lachlan James Duke. The sum of $2 million will be donated to women's clinics and hospitals in need. Lila James agrees to put her shares of Duke Tech Enterprises in an account for any future children she has while married to Lachlan James Duke. The account will remain untouched until their children are 25, not married. That part makes him laugh. Lila James agrees to provide her medical services to any veteran employee by Duke Tech Enterprises for the next 3 years, at least during and after her residency, so long as she is able to. In return, Lachlan James Duke's contract with Duke Tech Enterprises is void and left pending upon agreement that Lachlan James Duke forfeits his duties with Duke Tech Enterprises for the next 3 years, at least. Basically, she is saying that there's no need. She will give all her money and shares back to the family and everything, but he gets to play hockey. And there's that clause, if she is able to, because he keeps trying to get her to go back and play soccer. So, yeah. And his father allowed it, which he's shocked about, but he's happy about, and everybody's happy. So then they have the wedding, and it's super cute. And Prescott walks her down the aisle. And then we have an epilogue. She has been playing pro soccer for 3 seasons, and they both keep contemplating retiring for real so that Lachlan can go to work and she can finally go back to being a doctor. But really, Lachlan wants to have some kids.
He wants babies.
Yeah, there's a couple guys on his teammate, they're having kids, and he's like, what the heck? I want them too. And then he finds out that, just kidding, she retired last week and she's pregnant.
And she announced it at a hockey game with a sign, and it was so cute.
Mm-hmm. So then we get a bonus epilogue where she gives birth to a baby boy. And that is the end of our story.
So who was your favorite character?
Marissa.
I liked Prescott.
Yeah, he was cool too.
He did so much to get her out of the situation, and he was giving her money. And he basically.
So was Marissa.
Yeah, but he did like the heavy lifting of getting her out and off grid and taken care of. So
I see. I thought it was a joint effort. Yeah.
he did more than Marissa did. Marissa just assisted, but Prescott was the big one, like the big driving force behind everything.
They're so both good. Who is your least favorite?
I don't know. Who can I pick?
So many to choose from.
I mean, the obvious douchebag Jameson guy.
Yeah. And Wade.
Wade was so pushy and so fucking idiotic.
He's just dumb.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So Amazon gives this a 4.4 and Goodreads gives this a 4.0.
What did you give it?
A 4.
I also rated this 4 stars. So it was good. Like I said, originally when I put this on my TBR, I thought this was going to be like a super dark stalker romance. So I was like, that was what I was super excited to get. I was glad that I was able to temper my expectations before I started reading it. But it's funny. My complaint about this book, you're going to roll your eyes so bad. There was so much unnecessary banging throughout this book.
What?
Which, okay, I was there for and it was fine. But like all they did was fuck each other, which is fine. But you have such a ridiculous storyline that you need us to keep up with. And you keep interrupting it with random fucking sex. It was hard. I was like, wait, whiplash.
It was a 600-page book. So if you
felt like some of those scenes could have been taken out and we could have still had exactly what we got.
Who the fuck
I felt like some of them were thrown in just to be thrown in. Because if a book is going to be like smut to be smut, awesome. But this one obviously had lots of plot. So some of the scenes felt like they were thrown in there just to add spice factor and did not add to the book. And that's when I have a problem.
Just so you know, guys, you're never going to win. Ever.
Just, I want them to make sense. Like, I want them to go with it.
Did not feel the same way.
And that's okay. But there was just so many times where I literally had to skim through those scenes because I was like, oh, again? What is
podcast
this adding
over.
To
Ari,
this?
We can't please her at all. Either there's not enough or there's too much and no in between. No perfect amount.
Well, I want it to make sense with what is going on with the plot.
They had a lot of time to make up for, okay? So, duh. And you know what? I don't agree with you.
I don't half agree with myself. I mean, it's not a big sticking point. It's a little irritation.
This feels like the conversation we had with another book where you literally just had to find something you didn't like. So the thing.
No,
you
it, so it wasn't like my, it was like,
I'm just saying it has the same vibes as that one time where you literally just found something random. And I'm like, you just have to find something wrong with the book.
I don't mean for it to sound like that. I just know that when I was reading it, I was like, oh, again, that's why I was like, and I'm not normally like that. Normally I want those scenes. So when I'm like, oh, again, that's why to me, it's like,
there's no winning.
On that note, cucumber rating.
Why don't you go first, miss? There was too many.
I want it to match the plot. That's all. 5.
I'm going to go like a 6.
Survivability.
Oh, God.
If you were a main character in this book, would you survive?
No.
I kind of feel the same way. Though I feel like I would be smarter than... Okay, maybe I would survive, but my quality of life would be crap.
I am a terrible fighter, so I would probably die in a first instance of any fight happening.
I'm pretty scrappy, and I'm okay with hiding and just laying low.
No, I'd be dead. I will say... The one thing that could have solved a lot of these issues in this book was communication between anybody, you know, just especially between Lachlan and her, like, guys.
What a way to end out April. I guess we did kind of get that sports theme for April. I wonder what May will bring.
I don't know.
April sports brings May.
Something.
Let's find out.
All right. So I will bring up the Wheel of Fate and we will figure out what we're reading next and we'll see how May is gonna start.
It's gonna be May.
Oh, good Lord. Alrighty.
All right, come on.
Dating and Dismemberment.
Oh, it's a monster rom-com.
So dating and dismemberment is actually a thing that we have put on the wheel collectively together, because actually Ariel snuck it onto the wheel the last time, and here we are, because it keeps popping up on TikTok.
I brought it to your attention.
Okay. So this has been a book that has popped up on TikTok a lot, and we've kind of gone back and forth with it a lot. So here we are. So it is Dating and Dismemberment by A.L. Brody. Darla Drake, Duchess of Death, is a legendary monster who has haunted the woods around Camp Clear Creek for years, until an existential crisis forces her to take a sabbatical from wreaking havoc on pimply teens while she figures out what she really wants from the rest of her possibly infinite life. But what does a monster do when her malevolent days are over? For Darla, it's spending time with the decapitated, yet still overbearing, head of her mother, reading romance novels she steals from campers, and struggling with one monstrous case of melancholy, until Jarko Murkvale arrives in Clear Creek and turns Darla's life upside down. Jarko is conceited, arrogant, infuriating, and unfortunately for Darla, kind of hot. And with the Duchess of Death on the shelf, Jarko has staked his claim on Camp Clear Creek, but Darla refuses to go down without a fight, and so in order to reclaim her territory, she challenges Jarko to a series of hunts to see who the most fearsome monster really is. But the more mayhem they cause, the more Darla begins to realize there's more to this brash monster than she believed, and that Jarko may just be the antidote to her, I can't pronounce that word, ennui?
Is it ennui?
Ennui, maybe. But there's a reason Jarko came to Clear Creek, and in order to fill her 9-chambered heart, Darla will have to unravel the mystery of who this closed-off monster really is, and if they can manage to not literally tear each other limb from limb, Darla and Jarko just might find that couples who slay together stay together. And you know what? Considering that our specials in May are going to be hunting related.
Yeah. We don't read a lot of books.
I was just going to say, we don't read a lot of books written by men.
Written by men, which was what originally made us put this on our list.
Yeah.
He actually is writing a young adult book that I'm hoping to arc read with my own kiddo, because it's not a traditional, like, oh, male point of view is only for adventure and dragons. It's going to be, like, legit excited. So, yeah, cool. Join us for our Dating and Dismemberment ride.
So if you have any recommendations,
keep them coming. Send them in.
No one's ever going to see me wink. We'll take them. I don't know why I winked.
Send in your recommendations. Make sure to like, subscribe. Make sure to message us. Make sure to rate this episode. Send us some love. But
please,
either way, make sure to keep reading.
And keep it smutty.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.